Okay, good evening. It is Wednesday, and we are live right here from the Revival Capital of the World. And you are watching Home Group. I'm Greg Stevens, and I want to welcome you to thank you for being with us today. Listen, you're a big part of what we do here. And tonight, we're going to continue on with our Bible study. I have an iPad here. You can comment and ask questions as well. The information is right there on the bottom of the screen for you. How you do that, you can text them in, you can write them in. I'll give you more information in a minute. But I want to bring you up to speed. Tonight, we're talking about the Holy Spirit again. Let me introduce everybody that's with us because there's a very exciting change. Are you ready? My wife, Michelle, is with me. That's exciting.
I was going to say,
you're not the change. You were here. Did you see what I did there? Yeah. Did you see how I got out of that?
Yeah.
Lesson to self. Annette Taylor is with us. Good. And Annette, you mentioned Betsy bugs last week.
Oh, I found out what a Betsy bug is exactly what I thought it was, a bug gone crazy. A Betsy bug, it's an old saying.
We had people write in to tell me what a Betsy bug is.
I know. And a Betsy bug is a bug that just makes all kinds of crazy sounds. So it was the right term for me back as a child here in the tongue talkers.
The tongue talking church.
You said they were
crazy as a Betsy bug.
I said they're just crazy as a Betsy bug.
Well, now we know what that is.
Yeah.
So Annette Taylor is with us. And then two wonderful friends of the ministry and friends of mine, Cindy and Spencer Nordyke, are with us as well. And you teach in the Bible College here,
yes.
Kenneth, what do you teach at KCBC?
Well, this semester coming up, I'm going to be doing Foundations of Faith again, which I just love that because it's Kenneth's foundational teachings. And these students are getting the meat, the basic, the groundwork of everything this ministry stands for. It's so cool to get to watch their faces when it clicks.
I know, right?
You're talking to them about faith.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. So I get to teach that again. I've done some other courses, through the last 2 years. But
I know you did the blessing.
We did the blessing. We did healing.
Healing.
I shared healing with Annette, that course. And I did a marriage and family course. I did integrity of God's word was part of faith, but we did another one that was
ethics. You guys did that
ethics.
Together, the marriage we
did,
deal.
We did ethics. Well, Cindy helps me on everything. So,
right. Yeah.
But I did a course on ethics too, and excellence in ministry.
Boy, how important is that?
Yeah. And so foundational stuff mostly is what I've been involved with the Bible school students.
And how long have you guys been in ministry together?
Our anniversary is coming up in 2 weeks,
and
we've been
years?
Married for 44 years.
Okay.
We started ministering together before that.
Right.
So probably.
Oh, you were ministering together before you were married.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In Bible school, we were part of the same ministry and traveled and ministered. So
one of the perks right there, guys, there's a perk for Bible school.
Bible school.
Yes.
Go to Bible school. Kenneth
Just
Copeland
saying.
Bible school.
Yes.
Kenneth Copeland Bridal College.
Yes.
Anyway, go ahead.
No.
I repent. Yeah. I take that back.
But it's been 45, 46 years.
Yeah.
Probably 46.
Yeah.
Of ministry.
We wouldn't change anything. I mean, we've been through some stuff. But we learn to listen to the Holy Spirit.
That's what we're talking about.
That's
and that's
about.
What I want
Praise
to draw God. On from you. Now, the past 2 or 3 weeks, we've talked about the Holy Spirit. Let's review very, very surface level of what we've learned. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It's a he. Now, jump in if I get this right or wrong. The Holy Spirit's not an it. It's a he. He's the third member of the Godhead, equal member of the Godhead. And the minute you were born again, your spirit was changed. Your human spirit was recreated and he came in. And then we learned about allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through you. We talked about that a lot last week. And so now we're going to go a little bit deeper. We're going to begin to talk about the spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I want you to be part of it. Here's how you do it. You can text in at 682-302-1301. 682-302-1301. You can email at askhomegroup@govictory.com. I do want to remind you, the prayer lines are open and licensed trained prayer ministers are waiting for you right now at 877-281-6297. Okay, Holy Spirit time. Guys?
Yes.
Yes.
What's the difference in what are these gifts of the Spirit? What is that all about? And somebody said, Paul told us that we're supposed to covet these. Let me read you a verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 6, 7, and 8. I'm reading out of the New King James. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Interesting phrase. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So that talks about some of the gifts of the Spirit there. What's the purpose of this? What are these gifts?
And there's three groups of the gifts.
Yeah.
There's the, what is it, the power gifts,
okay.
The revelation gifts, the power gifts, and the inspirational gifts. The group that we're talking about is the inspirational gifts, the gift of prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And so, see, they didn't go away. Paul taught explicitly about the purpose of them. Hmm. So you were born again. The Holy Spirit was involved in the new birth,
mm-hmm.
the rebirth. You said that. It's what brought your new birth. But then there was another work of the Holy Spirit that Jesus told them, do you go over there and tarry mm-hmm. in Jerusalem? Till the Holy Ghost, well, he didn't say Holy Ghost. You go
right,
tarry
yeah.
in Jerusalem.
You'll be
and you're
going power.
To be endued with power.
Right.
That's the gift we're talking about.
Okay.
That's the way I see it. You agree?
Yeah.
Well, you can correct me anytime you want to. But
well, let's do an experiment here.
Okay, go
Michelle,
ahead.
Describe Greg as a pastor.
Oh, Lord.
Just is it two or three words. Characteristics as a pastor.
Characteristics. He's compassionate. He is full of grace, and mercy is one of his gifts.
Okay. Now describe him as a husband.
Oh.
Three or four words.
Well, we didn't know it was going to turn into a...
It's a marriage and family.
Welcome to our intervention.
There's not a lot that are different, to be honest.
Okay.
Other than he's funny.
Yeah, funny.
So that is one thing. And so he's funny and he's giving.
Okay.
He's selfless.
Okay. All of those words are descriptions of the character and nature
yeah.
and expression of Greg.
Mm-hmm.
All of these in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12 and Ephesians chapter 4 are descriptions of the expressions
yes.
of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, it, and it's like, you know, in Galatians when it talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit,
right.
it doesn't say the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit are... like lemons and oranges and apples. And it says the fruit of the Spirit is. And so it's like if you took an apple, okay, this apple is red and it's crisp
mm-hmm.
and it's sweet
mm-hmm.
and it's big.
So you're
and
describing
it's
all the things
so
of that apple.
Those are all characteristics of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the
mm-hmm.
same fruit.
Very cool.
But it's so many different things
yes.
in one thing. And so, you know, you read this out of Romans 12. These are expressions of the Holy
yeah.
Spirit. And the way I see Romans 12, these are like service gifts. God graces people to serve because you've got exhortation and you've got
right.
mercy and you've got giving. And people are serving with the grace of God. And the Spirit's expressing Himself through people to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing in 1 Corinthians 12
yeah, yeah.
with
yes.
the power gifts, mm-hmm. the expression gifts, the inspiration gifts.
Yeah.
These are all, you know, Jesus didn't really differentiate all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus had all the gifts of the Spirit
mm-hmm.
and functioned and operated in all of
in
them.
In the fullness of the Spirit, right?
Yeah.
But he didn't ever stop and say, okay, now we're doing Word of Wisdom. You've had five husbands and the one you're living with is not your. He didn't really put them in boxes.
Right.
He listened to God and flowed with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And... You know, people who want to learn how to develop this
mm-hmm.
yeah.
and to flow in this and to move in this,
mm-hmm.
I look at it this way. The Word of God is spirit food.
Yes.
You know, if you want your body to be healthy, you eat healthy food. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not all you do.
Mm-hmm.
You exercise. You have to move. You have to develop
mm-hmm.
your physical body.
Mm-hmm.
So you work out. The Word of God is spiritual food. And praying in tongues is spiritual exercise.
Yes, that's right.
Jude verse 20, but you, beloved, build up yourselves yes. on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You're in the Word. You're feeding your spirit, healthy, you know, spiritual, your faith, all yeah. of that stuff. So your mm-hmm. spirit can get the nutrients it mm-hmm. needs spiritually. Mm-hmm. And then praying in the Spirit is what builds your muscle, your spiritual muscles, your faith mm-hmm. to be able to do the things that Jesus did. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, greater works than yeah. these shall you do. Mm-hmm. So these expressions of the Holy Spirit can move and flow through you because you're listening like Jesus listened yeah. to the Father.
Yes.
Jesus said what the Father said. Jesus did what he saw the Father do. And it came out in these expressions.
Mm-hmm. So this question's already come in tonight. Thank you for your comments and your questions. How do I know it's him and not just me thinking that?
I mean, you're talking about praying in tongues?
No.
Or moving in the Spirit?
Moving in the Spirit. How do I know that that's God speaking to me and not just me thinking that? That's that question here.
Right.
Two of you, we're going to answer that right now. How do you know?
Well, there's different ways that you can develop it. You know, one way is to learn to, when you read your Bible, you're reading it out loud, you're hearing it, you're speaking it. And then all of a sudden, a scripture verse comes alive. It becomes, you know, rhema to you.
It then jumps out at you.
That's God speaking to you using that scripture verse. Mm-hmm. I mean, have you ever been in such a bad place that you just like, here, just speak to me and just start reading? I know none of y'all have ever done that, okay? But
I've done this thing. I've done that.
But, you know, when you're working the Word in your life and you're reading the Word and you're developing it, Spencer told the story earlier about 10 years ago. I was putting on my makeup and we were going to go see a friend of mine at church.
It was Mother's Day 2010.
And the Lord spoke to me and said, you're going to go through a really rough time, but I'm going to be with you all the way. And I'm like going, where is he? I mean, you know, like, but I heard that and I'm like, I wasn't thinking about that or anything. Well, the next 3 days were bad. You know, I got really sick. I couldn't keep anything down. I had to go to the hospital. I had to have emergency surgery and stuff. And then 6 months later, I had to have another surgery, you know, and I went through all this depression and all this stuff. But I would sleep with my Bible because it was what brought me peace.
So he's revealing. That's one yes. of the aspects of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He reveals to you things to come.
Yes.
Yes.
And so him telling you that is letting
yes.
you know.
Yes.
I'm with you on this.
Would right. that have been the was. Revelation gift?
Yeah. Well, and I don't, right. you know, yeah. a lot
it's
of
a word of knowledge.
Spencer and I were talking about that on the way here today about certain things in the Bible. Like Jesus said, okay, get in the boat. We're going to the other side. Or told Peter, okay, put the net out on the other side. I said, sometimes those all work together. I can't say this is that or this is that.
Right.
He gave me a word of knowledge about what was going to happen yeah. to me. Yeah. So I think people wanting to know, you know, I think one of the easiest ways to hear from the Lord, at least for me, is turn on music, especially when he's not there at our house. I can turn it on really loud. I'm sure he does the same when I'm not there. And that you get into worship mm-hmm. and you just, you know, that's what I love about worship services at churches is that the Lord starts speaking to you.
Yeah.
And he starts dropping things in your heart. I mean, I can still tell you the place and the time of day it was and what I was doing. And mm-hmm. the Lord spoke to me and told me I was going to marry Spencer. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you have those, I call yeah. them God moments, yeah. defining moments. Mm-hmm. And
but you know what? I'm going to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
But your ability to hear that, you had to know what the scripture said. You had to go to Romans 12. You've got to know what the word says, and the more you know about what the word says, the more you can identify who it's coming from.
Yes. Right.
Where is it coming from?
Right. That's why you go to church.
That's why you study too.
Yes. Brother Hagin used to say it this way.
Yes.
It comes from in here, not from here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Or not from yeah. out here.
And everybody's looking for it to come here, but that's not where it's coming
from. Well, we had a question asked about, is praying in tongues in my head just as effective as coming out of my mouth?
Well, your flesh, and you're going to have to pray with your
But I mouth. I do pray both ways. There are situations or times where I'm inside, I can hear myself praying and by the Spirit of God. And so I think it's situational. It's not it's not like a method that I do. Right. It's just situational. So at times
it's
I'll know.
You've learned to cooperate.
Yes.
All right. I want to bring Pastor George in on the conversation.
Yeah.
And he's going to talk to us right now about how to hear God's voice. The Holy Spirit is an inner witness or has an inward witness. We look inside. Sometimes it may be only a short word, may only be a whisper, but you have to see yourself. Listen to this. You have to see yourself hearing the voice of the Lord. Yeah. It's not a competition. Oh, let me help you right there. Oh, my God, Jesus. Yes. It's not a competition on who hears better.
Yeah. Amen.
It's just you taking your place and hearing Him. We were created to hear the voice of the Lord. Pastor George Pearson.
And that's what He wants to have for you. He wants to have that same kind of relationship, that one-on-one relationship with you to be able to hear that voice. And I hear His voice, and we'll talk about this in just a moment, but I hear the inward witness. I don't hear an audible voice, but it's an inward witness. We'll talk about that in just a moment, but the inward witness, and I hear that inward witness. And oftentimes, it's pretty short. It's a statement that He makes to me, like He made to me back in 2014 and in South Africa when He said, I want my church back. Okay. He wants His church back. And then He listed off all the things that He wanted His church to do. But I'm telling you, whether it's in long sentences or just a few short words, you've got to see yourself hearing the voice of the Lord. And I think sometimes we view our wives, some of us, as, well, they know more than we do, and they do better at that than I do, and I'm not the one that prays. Oh, no. We can't do that. We can't do that. And again, it's not competition. It's not like, okay, 10 points for the men. It's not that way at all. It's just us taking our place. And it begins with hearing the voice of the Lord. He's got so much He wants to say to us. He's got so much He wants to bring into our lives for us to be able to hear Him. And that's why I'm so glad I found that scripture in Proverbs 20:12. We were created. I was created to hear the voice of the Lord. I was created by God to hear His voice.
That's exactly right. And Adam used to walk with God the cool of the day and talk to Him. And that's what it is. That's the thing with fellowship and relationship.
I've been on this for since we heard Jesse when he was here in the victory or the visionary conference he had. And he kept saying, I fellowship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it struck me because I always think about we have relationship with the Lord. But there's a difference between relationship and fellowship, right?
Yes.
So as a parent, I'm in relationship with my children or my siblings. We're in relationship. We'll never go out of relationship.
Right.
We'll always be in relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But I fellowship with them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's how you get to know the voice of the Lord, is to fellowship.
Yeah.
First time you ever stepped out, for me, it happens. Sometimes I'll hear a word. Like one time I heard, you know, to do something and I'll step out on that. Most of the time I'll see something. I'll see a person that needs their eyes prayed for.
You see it in your heart. You see it in your head.
No, I get a picture of it. I see it.
In your mind?
Sometimes I'll see it as I'm getting ready for a service and I'm praying or whatever. I'll see myself do something. Now I know where that comes from. I spent so much time with Brother Hagin.
Yeah.
Because he would always say, well, amen, I'm just going to do what I saw myself do. Mm-hmm. And I really, you remember that?
Right. Yeah.
And,
yes, I do.
And so that hanging around that anointing got on me. And I'll see myself doing certain things. And when that hits in the service, I'm like, okay, now I know what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
And I'll just step out. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a step of faith. You just have to step out.
Is. It is by faith.
And do it. Yeah. You're going to have to step out in your mouth and pray in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. We have prayer partners that'll help you. They'll pray with you. The phone number is there on the screen. Just a moment here, 877-281-6297. Call them. They'll pray with you. Get you filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. How do you know
Well, we developed it. You know, it was something that we wanted to do because we knew what the word and people speaking to us had done in our lives throughout the years.
Words.
The prophetic words and things. And so we would be going to dinner. We were going to go to dinner with some pastors. Over and over again, I would say, let's pray and ask the Lord to show us something that they need to know. Okay. And we still do this to this day. And so we'll be just having dinner with them and it'll just come up in my spirit. And I'll say, well, you know, the Lord's been showing me this about you. And I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to say? But I just keep, and I'm doing it by faith and stuff, you know, but it's
but
a very natural thing. We've never gotten it wrong, you know, because the Holy Spirit's never gotten it wrong.
Well, I mean, that's what happens in people's heads. Well, what if I get it wrong?
Right.
Well, being afraid of getting it wrong, you know, will hold you back from a lot of things.
Yes, it will.
Hold you back from step out of faith in anything, really.
Yeah.
But it's practicing it. One of the best ways I know to practice it is to practice it in prayer.
Yes.
Cindy and I pray in the mornings and we'll start praying for the church, for the ministry here. Mm-hmm. We'll start praying for direction of something else. And then the prayer will go into a mode that's prophetic and we'll be praying some things out of things that are supposed to happen or whatever. And you begin to recognize that. Mm-hmm. Now, a couple of things too. You know, you had mentioned in Genesis, Adam walking with God in the cool of the day.
Yeah.
They spoke the language of heaven. Mm. There was one language,
right.
God and Adam, and it was the same language until the Tower of Babel.
It's Hebrew. Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
And at the Tower of Babel,
I'm joking with you.
And at the Tower of Babel, God split the languages and everybody went their own way.
Right.
And then on the day of Pentecost, God poured out his Holy Spirit. And they all spoke the same language, but all of these different people with different languages heard their own language in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was the language of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Well, this is the language of heaven, the
and
Word.
For today.
Yes. And praying in tongues is the language of the Spirit, of the language of heaven. And so when you're in the Word, you're surrounding yourself with, you know, it'd be like language immersion. Mm-hmm. If you want to learn Spanish, you go live with a Spanish family that doesn't speak any English, and you will learn where the baño is. You know, I mean, out of survival, you will learn that. Well, it's the same thing, that's what I love about the Believers' Conventions. It's saturation. Mm-hmm. It's surrounding you with the language of faith, the language of heaven, the language of victory, and so that you can see yourself and live in that. And so you surround yourself with that. And then when you're praying in the Spirit, you're practicing the language of heaven. You're practicing fellowshipping with God.
Yes.
When you're praying in the Spirit, you're fellowshipping with God.
Yeah.
You're understanding is not even involved.
Praise
it's your spirit and his spirit communing with each other. And then you grow in it. You know, people, if you're afraid, oh, I'm going to make a mistake. Well, you're going to make a mistake and you're going to blow it. And you're going to say the wrong thing sometimes, but you keep practicing and you keep learning and you keep growing in it to the point to where your prayers move into a prophetic gear. Your conversations, you know, like Cindy said, you're having dinner with somebody and it moves into a kind of a prophetic mode of direction or wisdom or encouragement. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what you're doing is you're practicing. That's the gifts of the Spirit in operation.
Amen. And we do it in praying and we do it in seeking the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I will on purpose pray in the Spirit for 30 minutes and then speak in English what I've just prayed on purpose, because that's how I'm learning to develop things.
So we're learning to hear his voice. Now, what I did, and I want to go to Pastor Terry's clip here in a minute. We brought Pastor George in. We need to bring Pastor Terry in. So what I did is I went, I realized I know a lot about you. Real quick story. She was pregnant. We're going to a minister's luncheon, which I did not want to go to. I hated those things. And we're driving from San Diego to Los Angeles, and I'm in a bad mood. And she's pregnant, and she needs to stop now. And I'm thinking, I can get to the next exit up there. Let me give you advice, man. If your woman needs to stop now, your wife, if the woman in the car who's pregnant needs to stop now. And so I'm inside I was inside this thing, and they were talking, the people behind me were talking about Michael Jackson, and they were talking about his favorite color and what he likes to eat. And if you didn't know, you would have thought they knew Michael Jackson. And I heard in my spirit, that's the way you are with me.
Wow.
You know a lot about me.
Yeah.
But you don't know me.
Yeah.
And it just hit me.
Right.
And so I said, I don't know what you sound like, you know? And what I did, Spencer, is I went into the Bible and I actually got on the computer, and all the letters that were in red, I printed them off and I read them out loud every day so I could hear what he sounds like.
For how long?
Oh, I don't know. I still do it sometimes, but
wow.
I did that for a good solid year.
Language of heaven.
Listening just to him. Yes. I skipped all the black words in there. I just only listened to the red lettering. Mm-hmm. And I realized you sound different than I thought you did.
Wow. Yeah.
And so it's
that's an amazing story.
That's so cool.
And I began then, now I can recognize that voice.
Yes.
Better than I used to, because my sheep know my voice. Here's Pastor Terry Copeland Pearson's clip one, How to Be Led by the Holy Spirit. And she talks about teaching her children how to hear the voice of God. Watch this.
And so there's always something that he wants to press your button about that says what? I don't know what to do. I don't know the answer. And when you make up your mind, you want to hear from the Lord and you want to obey God and you want to follow God. And as a believer, that's what we do. I mean, if your heart's tender towards Him, that's what you're thinking. But man, that little flag comes up time and time and time again. Well, that is not something we should ignore. That's not something we should put aside. It means that we need to go to the Word about that and feed our faith on it and feed our heart on it. Okay, so let's look at John chapter 10. I'm going to go back and forth between Amplified, New King James, refer to some, look some up, but partly because of our time's sake, because I have quite a few verses to share tonight. So in John chapter 10, verse 1, Amplified, he says, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, he who does not enter by the door into the sheepfold but climbs up some other way is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the door for this man. The sheep listen to his voice and heed it. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. When he has brought his own sheep outside, he walks on before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never on any account follow a stranger, but will run away from him because they do not know the voice of strangers or recognize their call. That was something that the Lord put in my sister Kelly's heart. She began to say it and I picked up on it too. We taught our children to say, I hear the voice of the good shepherd. I do not follow a stranger's voice. When I hear his voice, I quickly obey. We taught our children to say that. We made them say it all the time. I hear the voice of the good shepherd. That's a good thing to say. I say it a lot. I hear the voice of the good shepherd, a stranger's voice, I will not follow. So the following of the Lord, he didn't say that it should be hard. He said that he is speaking to us. Say, well, okay, how's he speaking to us? Well, what is this? What is this? It's the Word of God. What are words? But God doing what? Speaking. This is, so then what is this? God speaking. God speaking to us.
Amen. And He is always speaking to us. We just got to position ourselves to listen. What a great tool to teach your children to begin to confess that over themselves. That, you know, I've had our children say, God doesn't ever speak to me. He goes, He's always speaking to you.
You ain't listening. Mm-hmm.
You just don't listen. Go to Samuel and Eli.
Yeah.
Remember? He
First
said,
yeah.
He said, he went down there and he said, you called me. And finally, the prophet got the revelation. No, that's the Lord. Next time it happens, say, here am I, Lord. But who did he sound like? He sounded like Eli.
Yeah.
He speaks through your authority. Have you ever thought of anything and you thought, man, that sounded just like my dad saying that, or that sounded just like pastor saying that? Mm-hmm. It's probably God.
Yeah.
And you're used to hearing that voice of leadership and authority. But here's a thing that came in. Can you answer this one? How do I know if I have an interpretation of a tongue? I'm so amazed by people who have the interpretation. Okay. In my church growing up,
yes,
there was only like two or three people. And it seemed like they were getting a fight over who was going to do the tongue and the interpretation. And it was the same folks all the time. Uh-huh. So what's the deal with that? What's the purpose for...
Well, there is... There is the operation, someone with the gift of tongues and someone with the gift of interpretation. And not everybody has that as a gift. Everyone can operate and function in that if God's leading you, if God's directing you. That doesn't necessarily mean you hold that position of that gift in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. But as you're growing in the Lord and you step out in faith and you give a tongue or you feel like you have an interpretation and you step out in that and you notice that happens several times and it's like, oh, well, this might be a thing. And so you lean into that in prayer, you lean into that yielding to that gift. And then that develops in you and, you know, gets to a point to where, you know, it's accurate. Now that has to be under authority and under leadership. So if the pastor says, you know, that was just a little on the edge, then you take that correction, you go, okay, and you go and you pray, you seek God and you sharpen your gift. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and you take that correction and you do
it. Now, wasn't that the problem in the Corinthian church?
Yeah.
Historically, they were everybody was
right.
And it wasn't helping anyone.
Yeah. It doesn't take a lot of faith for tongues. It takes faith to interpret,
right,
and of course to prophesy.
Yeah.
But to speak in tongues, gift of tongues, it doesn't require a lot of faith there. Of course, you've got to have faith to step out there and do that in front of all those people. But it's a little easier than interpretation of tongues if you're looking for something. If you're looking for the easy one, I'd rather go with the tongues.
Yeah. Well, it's important to go to the front and be acknowledged and be given permission.
So that everybody can hear.
Right, for everybody can hear. And then hopefully the pastor knows you or the person in charge knows you and they give you permission to do this. And they're going to know where you are. And a good way to practice is, you know, okay, I'm in church and someone gives a tongue and someone gives an interpretation. And the interpretation, is that the same interpretation along the same lines?
Is what I'm hearing.
Is what I'm hearing. And that's a good way to practice. And you can do that in Bible studies and things like that.
See, I will always defer because he's going to speak through leadership.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And pastor or whoever's up there will have it first.
Yeah, they like the leadership.
And they'll look at me if it's for me.
One time we were praying. I was with Pastor George. It was a lot of us. It's a long time ago praying, and I had this. I had been studying about when Mary went up to Elizabeth and Elizabeth, you know, that story. And this step kept coming in. There shall be a performance of those things that was told you by the Holy Ghost. Well, that's
her
true.
Voice changed.
I know,
there.
Right?
Did you notice that?
I did.
Her voice changed.
There shall be a performance of those things that was told you by the Holy Ghost. Well, what's been told to you by the Holy Ghost? Well, what's been told to me by the Holy Ghost? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and your whole household will be saved. What? You're going to live the life before them and you're going to lead them there. But to me, I take that like from God himself. There shall be a performance in that of those things that was told you by the Holy Ghost. And you hang tight in here and don't let go. And there'll be a performance of salvation that'll come to your family. Bless
Praise
the Lord.
God.
Yes. And that was a word from God. And that was
a word from
heaven.
God.
It was.
And that's Luke 1:45, if you want to go look at it. So.
And so after you studied the word, he spoke to you, directly to you.
I didn't have that whole thing at one time. We were in that mode of prayer. And this just, I think we were praying for salvation of people's families, because that's big in the church.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, your mom and daddy's serving God and the kids going to hell. So that's really a word for anybody that'll lay hold of it. Amen. But I'm telling you, watch that hit me like a ton of bricks. There shall be a performance. evidence of those things.
And then you were able to grab hold of that.
And I grabbed it, and I've never let it go.
It bore witness with your spirit.
With my heart. Was that from God? Absolutely.
There's a lot of people here, several questions, and I thank you for them. And to me, I'm going to be honest with you, anytime this question ever came to me when I was a pastor, it was always a trap, gotcha question. I'm just being honest, and maybe it was with you as well. How much do you pray? How long do you pray? And can I just tell you, in an organized prayer, probably not that long, but communicating with him all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't pray as much as I talk to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like just saying things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and he answers me the same way. But
and you go through seasons of prayer too. I mean, it's like, you know, when I was in high school, I swam. I was on the swim team.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I still swim. I still go, but I don't swim as much as I used to. You know, it's like you go through different phases in your life because you're learning and you're growing. You know, when we lived in Tyler, Texas for a year and a half, God sent us there on special assignment for a year and a half. Well, it was like my boot camp. Mm-hmm. Every morning I would get up, I think at 5 o'clock, and I would spend 30 minutes studying the Word, 30 minutes praying in tongues, 30 minutes praying scriptures, and 30 minutes worshiping. And I did that. It's 2 hours a day. Mm-hmm. I did that for about a year. And it was part of my boot camp training. Well, that was a season. Your whole life isn't boot camp. Mm-hmm. And so, and then you grow and you go to the next kind of season of prayer where you kind of learn a different aspect of prayer. But I needed that to build some things in my life and in my spirit. And praying in the spirit, praying in tongues was part of that. And in that praying in the spirit, you learn how to listen. Mm-hmm. You learn how to connect. You learn how to, you learn how to sort out some thoughts, you know. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. Forsake your thoughts, take my thoughts. Yeah. Well, praying in the Spirit will help you kind of, you know, clean out the lines.
That's a great example. Were you ever in the military? Any of you guys?
I was.
You were in the military?
My husband was, therefore I was.
So here's the thing, and that's a great example.
Yes,
I thank you for that. Boot camp is intense. It's boot camp stressful.
Yeah.
I mean, stressful.
Yeah.
But by the end of boot camp, that last week or two before graduation, they started lightening up on us a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And then after graduation, the minute that thing happened, the drill sergeant was my best friend.
Right.
Because I'm a member of the Air Force now.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't call me a maggot, idiot. Why are you polluting my Air Force? Why are you breathing my air?
Yeah.
He sat down and had a conversation with us like this and just started talking to us about what it's going to be like for us.
You had entered into a new level of relationship
with him.
Right, right.
Your relationship with him as your drill sergeant.
Fellowship. It was fellowship now.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was your drill sergeant. And in that mode, you were a maggot, you know,
an idiot,
or whatever.
Whatever. Yeah.
And then you moved into a new, and that's what happens with us in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. We move into a different level, a different place, even a different ministry. I mean, your ministry develops and changes and grows and morphs into, you know,
and then we went to training school after that.
Uh-huh.
The first couple of 3 weeks of training school was still pretty tight. We didn't have any liberty or freedom. By the end of those training schools, it's much more open and much more free.
Yeah.
And
but
felt
his
normal.
Job was to teach you survival and teach you how
to keep alive. He had to get us all thinking and saying the same thing quickly.
Yes.
We're in boot camp, really. We are in boot camp. I've been at 45 years. You've been in 46 years.
Yeah.
I'm still amazed at things I learn every day.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, at the beginning of this year, thank God, you know, here we are, 2020. We were trying to figure out what do we want to do, and the Lord really laid it on our heart to take the first 20 days of the year and to pray for 2 hours and 20 minutes each day. So what we did is we split it up. So in the morning, we prayed for an hour and 10 minutes. And in the evening, we would pray for an hour and 10 minutes. And we were just talking about it the other day. I said, oh, thank God we did that. Because if we hadn't, we wouldn't be where we are now in the spirit realm with all of this going on and people at home.
You said a key phrase there, and I think this is what people need to listen to is that you were led
yes.
to do that. And mm-hmm. I can't take upon myself what you do
right.
as gospel that I'm mm-hmm. supposed to do that right. too, because mm-hmm. Spencer and Cindy are doing it. I mm-hmm. need to do that. Mm-hmm. I know I need to hear for myself that's and right. be led in what I'm supposed to do. Why? Because then the body, you're doing your part. Then I will be doing my part. Mm-hmm. So if we're all doing as we're led to do,
yes.
Then that's the right prayer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We get hung up sometimes, I think, on what type mm-hmm. of prayer mm-hmm. or right. how to, you know, should I pray this much in the spirit and this much in my known tongue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah, the mechanics of it. Yeah.
Lynn Hammond made this point, and it's so powerful. She said, never underestimate the power of a short prayer. Mm. And it gets you to think that I need to be in line with the Spirit of God to say what I need to say, when I need to say it, when He mm-hmm. guides me to say it, and yeah. work with Him.
Yeah.
And I'm not fighting to get into the Spirit of God. No, I'm cooperating with the Spirit of God
yes. mm-hmm.
as He leads and as He guides and as He uses and works with the authority we have here on the earth. And so to see prayer as a working together with yeah. with Him.
That's so good.
Rather than part or fighting with it.
Yeah. When churches say, okay, we're going to do the Daniel fast together, and they give you certain scripture verses mm-hmm. to right. do, well, that's where our leadership leads us to do something, and we're going to join with that because that's what we're supposed
right.
to do.
Right.
You know, is that's where we go. But then there are other times where, you know, we all need our own daily prayer time.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and you're right. I mean, people ask, how long do you pray? I don't know.
It's different.
Because we pray different amounts. I'm always, okay, you know, getting my Bible out and looking at things and doing things.
I like what you said, though, about, you know, I talk to Him more because that's how Jesus was.
Oh, yeah.
And we were talking about Jesse Duplantis earlier because he has that kind of just, it's not casual, but it's
intimate.
It's close. Mm-hmm. It's intimate. Mm-hmm. I mean, he gets up in the morning and he says this and the Holy Spirit says this and then he says this and then they go do stuff.
Yeah.
And it's that level that Jesus lived on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, following the Holy Spirit, walking with the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit.
But you also have to learn that place to be quiet so you can hear.
So people just said that this just came in. Is it just talking to God prayer? Yes, but there's a different type of deal for me when I'm praying. I'm going to go to the Father in Jesus' name. I'm going to make an appointment. I'm mm-hmm. going to the Father in Jesus' name, and I'm going to say, now your word says.
It's more business.
And I'm going to, no, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray something in the word. And then I'm going to say, now what I don't know, because I need an answer on something. Yeah. What I don't know how to pray here, I'm going to now pray in the Spirit and trust the Holy Spirit to pray through me.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's you good. Reveal to me what I'm going to pray.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's the difference for me. The rest of the time, I'm talking to Him. And you get great nuggets when you just
yeah.
when
and
you
you're receiving mysteries mm-hmm. of the gospel that's been revealed.
Amen.
So prayer also helps you to receive the mysteries of in Christ that's been revealed. It's not hidden any longer.
Here's one that came in. What a great group talk about the Holy Spirit. Thank you for putting this together. Some of my favorite teachers who I've learned so much from and still learning from. Thank you. Thanks for being part of it. How do you know, Spencer? How do you know if it's the Holy Spirit or a different spirit? I guess they're talking maybe corporately in a church. How do you know?
Well, there are clues in your spirit to something. Like one example is when I used to read the Old Testament prophets, you know, I would read, you know, I'm going to destroy you and pull out your teeth and pluck your eyes out. And I would feel condemnation.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't feel peace. I would feel condemnation. But one day I got tired of that. You know, I'm like reading this and feeling really bad about myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I don't get it. I mean, I'm reading your word and this is important and I want to get through this, but it just bothers me. And so please help me sort this out. And the Lord just showed me, it's like, that's not about you. I'm saying that about your enemies. That's what I'm going to do to your enemies.
Yeah.
And it was a shift, yeah, you know, in my thinking. Yeah. I'm like, all of a sudden saw God was saying, I love you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to keep you from all
yes.
evil. And it just changed. But I knew in my spirit something was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're, you know, if you're praying, you're going into this thing and you don't have that peace, you don't have that assurance or boldness or, you know, if it's not a positive force mm-hmm. on the inside of you, something's wrong. And you can go to the Lord and say, what's
the deal? It won't line up with the Word, will it?
Yeah. If it doesn't line up with the Word, yeah, and it doesn't bear witness with your spirit,
let it go.
Yeah.
And yeah, but then he said in that the part that condemned you, mm-hmm, he was talking about that day where they killed their enemies.
Yeah.
You and I can't kill our enemies.
Well, we have now, spiritual
help. But we have spiritual help. Yes. That, yeah, says your enemies are spiritual,
yeah,
wickedness in high places.
Yeah.
So you kill your enemy,
yeah,
with that word that says, the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, yes, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds.
Yeah.
I can't go shoot you, but I can get after you in the spirit.
Yeah. And my enemies are guilt and condemnation,
yes,
and fear,
yes,
and insecurity. Yes. Those are my enemy, not, yeah, people.
Yes. The greatest thing I ever learned was the difference between conviction and condemnation.
Right. Yeah.
Because I didn't know they were, I thought they were kind of the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, and that's part of like that question. It's, mm-hmm, and knowing the difference, tell the difference.
Yeah.
Because knowing the difference helps you discern,
yes, yeah,
what's conviction, the Holy Spirit.
Conviction, yeah, is what the Holy Spirit does.
Yeah.
Condemnation, yeah, is not.
Is what the devil.
Condemnation is, Spencer, you're horrible.
You're a maggot. That's condemnation.
Like if you do bad behavior, you're just like your uncle and you're never going to amount to anything. And, and I knew you were going to fail. That's condemnation. Conviction is, Spencer, I know what you did, but you're better than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me pull you back up to the place where you, yeah, fell from.
Yeah. That's not like you.
That's,
yeah,
not like,
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
I know you.
Yeah.
That's the difference between, yeah, the two of them. And for the
really
longest time, I didn't know.
Opening your heart in that fashion,
yeah,
just like you're saying, mm-hmm, to the Holy Spirit, when you're feeling this, you're feeling that, and you're like, okay, what's the Holy Spirit? What's not? Ask yourself, is this conviction or is this condemnation?
Yes.
Is this God bringing me up or is this the devil
conviction,
putting me down?
Yeah. 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 Okay, here we go. Cindy, give this to you. If the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not displayed in a church, is it still a spirit-led church?
You'd have to ask the pastor that one. But I would believe that most the pastors seeking the Lord and doing things. And I have friends who pastor who they're hearing from God all the time and they're doing things, but it might not be in the service.
So I'm saying this, if somebody gets saved, that's a work of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, that is a work of the Holy Spirit.
That's the greatest work.
That's the greater work.
Salvation.
There you go.
Here I go. Salvation, yeah, is, yeah, the greater work,
yeah,
because Jesus couldn't make new creations.
Right.
One
of the things I would love to see people do who want to learn about hearing from the Holy Spirit, Pastor Terry teaches prayer at the convention. And she teaches it at,
oh,
the,
yeah,
beginning and in the evening. Mm-hmm. And then we have prayer calls and things. Do as many of those as you can. Yes. Because, one, you're praying with other people. Mm-hmm. So all of our prayers are hooking up together and doing more. But you're learning about the Holy Spirit. When Pastor Terry's going, well, pray. Just pray this out. Let's pray this out. Well, all of a sudden, you're expanding inside of you, mm-hmm, and your spirit's expanding, and you're just growing. And I love that. And, yeah, that's a great way to learn about how, yeah, the Holy Spirit.
I want to say this, that, too, because some of it's logistics. If you're in a church with thousands of people,
yes, yeah,
you can't just have everyone doing tongues, yeah, and interpretation. Yeah. And the Corinthian church had that problem. You know, it's like they were breaking out in tongues and,
yeah,
breaking,
and
out
nobody stuff, got anything
from it. And nobody got, yeah, anything from it. It wasn't in such a way, yeah, that you could digest it, mm-hmm, and receive it and see the miracle of it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of larger churches have home groups and home fellowships.
Well, it's harder in a larger
where it can
church
happen.
People can't hear,
yeah,
the interpretation,
it's logistics,
of what,
yeah,
that was.
Yeah.
Okay, here you are. I'm so grateful for you. And because I know this is the start. This is the start for some people tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And I saw this before we came on. Shirley writes in, after 30 years of believing for the gift to come to me and not receiving anything, is there anything I can do to build up my faith to receive? I've been waiting for you.
To receive the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's my experience.
Wow.
There's the anointing.
My older brother, Steve,
yeah,
got saved in the Jesus People movement. We were up in Michigan. And him and all his friends came down to Christ for the Nations to go to Bible college. And he prayed for me for a year. I didn't know the Lord. And then he invited me down to come down and visit him. So I came down to visit him. And I mean, miracles were happening. I couldn't get a job in Michigan. I got a job in Texas, you know, just right after I got here. I'm living on campus. He asked me, he goes, you know, why don't you think about going to summer school while you're here? You'll make some friends and all that. It made sense to me. And so I got the application and I'm filling it out. And it says, describe in a page or less your conversion experience. I had no idea what that meant. And so I went next door and I asked him, I said, I'm trying to fill this form out and I don't know what to say. He says, well, you want to get saved? I said, yes. And so he led me to the Lord and prayed with me. And it was like 100 pounds of sin or guilt or insecurity, all of the, you know, down stuff lifted off of me. And I was saved. And I wrote that down on the thing. Today, you know, today. In Luke House 3:18, I got saved. So I turned it in. They accepted me into the school. So one of my classes was The Gifts of the Holy Spirit with Sister Pauline Parham, daughter-in-law of Charles F. Parham.
Yeah, sure.
She was my teacher. So she gets Pentecostal as all get out, right? Sure. So she gets up there, like, I don't know, maybe the second class. She said, today everyone's going to speak in tongues. And I'm like, you know, I'd never done that. I'd never been around that. And she says, lift up your hands. And I lifted up my hands. She said, speak in tongues. And I spoke in tongues. And it wasn't a mental thing. It was just, I was in, you know, that place in that atmosphere.
Yeah.
And I stepped out and I did it. And I think a lot of people, what happens is they're thinking it's going to be a mental thing. From the time you learn how to talk, it all comes through your brain. Mm-hmm. You learn words, you learn English, you learn how to speak, and it's all coming through your brain.
This isn't coming through your
brain. And this is totally different. When you pray in the Spirit, it's coming out of here.
Yes.
It's coming out of your spirit. Mm-hmm. And so many people, it comes up to here and stops because of their brain. Yeah. And what people have to do, and we'll pray.
Yeah.
But what people...
So let me, before we go there, put the phone number on the screen.
Yeah.
I mean, the anointing of God is in this room right now.
Thank you,
Lord. 877-281-6297. Spencer's going to lead us. Spencer, go ahead.
We're going to pray. And I just want you to say this prayer with me, okay? Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Baptize me.
Baptize me.
In the Holy Spirit.
In the Holy Spirit.
With the evidence.
With the evidence.
Of speaking in other tongues.
Of speaking in other tongues.
I receive it.
I receive
it. It's mine.
It's mine.
If I ask you for bread.
If I ask you for bread.
You won't give me a stone.
You won't give me a stone.
This belongs to me.
This belongs to me.
I receive the Holy Spirit.
I receive the Holy Spirit.
And in Jesus' name.
And in Jesus' name.
I open my mouth.
I open my spirit. Open my spirit.
And I will pray.
And I will pray
in a heavenly language.
In a heavenly language.
Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now just do it. Just begin to speak. You won't know what you're saying. Just begin to do it. Don't let your head get in the way. Just put your thinking aside and just begin to do it. Step out and do it. It's coming out of your spirit. It's not coming out of your head. You don't have to think of what to say. You just open up and let it flow. Father, I pray for everyone who's just received the Holy Ghost, that Father, in Jesus' name, you give them this confident assurance and a supernatural peace that, Father, they've got it and it's theirs and the devil will not lie to them and the devil will not steal this beautiful gift that they just received. And Father, in the name of Jesus, you just continue to cause them to grow in it and to move in it and to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in it. In Jesus' name.
Amen. I want you to call the number that's on the screen, 877-281-6297. Call them. Tell them what just happened to you. I believe, Shirley, 30 years of waiting has been answered.
Yes.
I just believe it by faith.
Yes.
And then
in Jesus' name.
We've just got just 3 or 4 minutes or so. I just sense there's more. Somebody's got something for someone.
Lord's just been talking to me during this time together about some of you, that the fear that you're dealing with and the anxiety that's going on with all of this lockdown and virus and everything. Fear is of the enemy. And the way that you get rid of fear is you begin to take the Word of God and you start reading it. And you read it out loud, and as you read it and it comes over you, then you speak it and your ears are hearing it, and then your spirit's developing. And then you just keep doing that, and don't let the enemy lie to you. Every time it happens, just keep speaking forth the Word of God and keep speaking for things to happen to you, that you'll know that God loves you and He's taking care of you. That God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. Amen. And some of you right now, you really, really need a sound mind. The situation you're in is terrible, okay? And you need to get a sound mind and get a grip on what's going on. And the Lord wants to help you. He loves you so much. Amen. He wants to help you with what you're going through.
And it's all in this Word.
Yeah, and He loves you. I mean, reading Psalms is going to be beautiful for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Praise God.
Amen. And you have to say what God says about you.
Yeah. Yes.
Don't look at what you thought that wasn't good. Think about what God says about you. Look in here and see what God says about you. Because He sees you valuable, precious. He sees you so wonderful. And so now I go about, I see me wonderful. And that's the way God wants you to see yourself.
Because you are wonderful.
Such a wonderful
person. You are a wonderful
person. To know me is to love me.
So
that's the attitude that you want to take on. God loves me. That's all that matters. Amen. And therefore, I love myself.
Yes.
Now, that's not pride. But you got to listen. God loved you so much that He came to live inside this vessel.
Amen. It's good.
So you got to say that. You got to hold fast to that and see yourself as a wonderful woman of God or a man of God.
Amen. Joe, you got something?
You know, I'm just going to end with that. God wants to have fellowship with you.
It's
so strong in me.
So good.
And I know it's not just for me, but there is a fellowship time that He wants with you. This what we're talking about, the intimacy that we have with Him. He wants to have that with each of His children. You are just as valuable as anybody sitting here.
Yes.
And so just know how much He loves you.
Yes.
So just saw this last question. Is there anything that can block me from speaking in tongues? Yeah, you.
Yeah, that's right.
You can block you.
Just doubt.
Right. But nobody else can block you. No, only you. All right, some final thoughts. Thank you guys. Wonderful tonight. Final thoughts for this evening and this wonderful Bible study is the Word of God is spiritual food, and praying in tongues is spiritual exercise. We need both.
Yes.
To do the works that Jesus wants us to do, we need both.
Yes.
There's a difference between having a relationship with the Holy Spirit and fellowshipping with Him. Practice hearing His voice in prayer. Realize it's not going to come from your head. It's going to come from your heart. That was a good word, Spencer.
Yes.
Praying in the Spirit helps you hear His voice more clearly, and He won't speak anything outside of what's already in the Word. Just remember, we were created to hear His voice just like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. He loves you, He cares about you, and He's speaking to you even now. You're having a Holy Ghost meeting in your house, wherever you're at. Just bask in this all night. I believe that the Lord's going to speak to some of you in a very special way this very night.
Yes.
All right, we're going to see you back here. Morning prayer tomorrow will be part of that, and a victory update tomorrow. You won't want to miss it. All right, we'll see you then. Know this, God loves you.
We love you.
And Jesus is Lord. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for being with us.